waiting for us to bring them into manifestation. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Dreams are ideas just waiting for us to bring them into manifestation. Are you ready to bring your dream into manifestation?
Yes.
Are you ready to bring your dream into the experience that you'd like to have? And Ellen blithely says yes, but she's lying through her teeth. Now, why do I say she's lying through her teeth? Because Ellen said, "Herb, tell me where the pond is that's on our property." And I said, "If you have to ask, it's not there." When you have that pond so a reality in your mind on a property, you don't even have to have it in a place, but you just have it so as a reality in your mind that we have a pond, then we have it. Now, Ellen, I am going to speak to you all rhetorically during this talk, and I would like it if you would not answer me. Now, Ellen, did we ever have a pond on our property? And Ellen wants to speak up and say, yes, yes, yes. Well, yes, we did. Ellen, was it a nice pond? Yes, yes, it was a nice pond. She's shaking her head, yes, because she cannot shut up. Now, you see, it was there, and she knows it was there, and so it's so easy for her to say, yes, yes, yes. Now, if I were to say something that might have been invisible for her, then she might say, I don't know about that. I don't remember seeing it. But this pond, she definitely remembers seeing. In fact, Ellen, did this pond have a black bottom? Yes, it did. It had a piece of plastic on the bottom. Did this pond have ducks and geese and things like that in it? Yes, this pond had ducks and geese in it. Did the pond have a fence around it to keep the ducks and geese from waddling away? It had a fence around it. Okay, what happened to the pond? Well, the ducks and the geese would walk in and out of the pond, and as they walked in and out of the pond, their big toes would cut into the plastic on the bottom, put holes in it, and the water would drain out. And pretty soon, the pond was empty, and we'd fill it, and it was empty, and we'd fill it, and it was empty. It was quite a bothersome thing. And in the middle of the pond, Ellen had Paradise Island. She had this beautiful island built there, from which I believe you even had a fountain on the island, and water flowing up and into the air and making everything so beautiful and so glorious. And she even had a house on the island, and she called it Duck Island with Duck House, you know. And but the geese got in there too, and we had some pretty squawky geese. Our neighbors spoke about it many times. The geese were quite noisy. Now, that pond was there. Now, Ellen can visualize that pond very easily. Ingeborg can visualize that pond, and Sylvia can visualize that pond. Even the geese who are no longer here and the ducks who are no longer here can visualize that pond very well. But you see, they visualize it because it was a physical reality in their life. Now, if they were like little children, they wouldn't need a physical reality to visualize it. They could visualize it as just a thought in their mind, and they knew exactly what it was. They knew exactly what the cottages were around the edge of the pond. They knew exactly how many geese and how many ducks were in that pond. They knew exactly how deep it was and how much fish were in that pond, how many fish. They knew all about these things. Kids just know. And the pond isn't even visible to anybody else, but the kids know. They know with a certainty. They know with a realization that in their heart and in their soul, they know it. And lo and behold, it manifests. It manifests. It manifests in ways that no one would have ever dreamed it would manifest. Maybe a satellite, not a satellite, but a thing drops out of the sky and makes a big hole there, you know. And then the rain comes and fills it up, or something like that. And when this, I don't know, what do you call it? It's a gadget that falls out of the sky.
Thunder.
Thunder. Meteorite. A meteorite falls out of the sky. Thank you very much. And the meteorite plasters the edge of the hole that it made, so it was impervious to water going out. And the water just stayed right in there. And then, let's say, maybe a dozen little tiny meteorites came from up on the mountain, go bing, 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 making a little crick. And then one meteorite falls at the tip of the mountain, and bing, it goes down and hits an artesian well. You know what an artesian well is, you know. And water's flowing out of it, just beautiful, and coming down into the little creek and down into our pond. And then we have to have an overflow. But fresh water continually coming into the pond. Fresh water. And then we would have fish in there, of course. And we'd have ducks and geese and all sorts of wonderful creatures. And then the pond, how big would the pond be? Ellen says it has to have a boat in it. Well, we have a kayak, not a boat. So perhaps we have to get a boat too. But would it be a speedboat or just a rowboat or just a little puddle jumper? But you see, what would it be? Now, what can you imagine, Ellen? What can you imagine? Ellen says, we have to have a boat. She didn't say, we have a boat. You know, she didn't say that. And until we are at the point where we say, we have the pond, we have the boat, we have the fish, we have the geese and the ducks and the mud hens and the other things, you know, we have them. And where is this pond? This pond's right up on the BLM land, you know, edging right on our land. And it just comes onto our land maybe about 10 feet, you know, so we don't use up too much of our land. And it goes right up on the BLM land, which is the Bureau of Public Lands, and, you know, it'd be no time at all, they'd have roads going up to it so that all the people can come and enjoy it, you know, and it'd be quite busy. Oh, yes, Ellen. Oh, yes. When you create something, you want to create it something that is your experience or not. Now, Ellen, if you are a good creator, you create it invisible to the world. Invisible only to you or to anyone in your world who enjoys using it. Now, you say, well, that's not too hard to do, to create it invisible, just to create me using it and me enjoying it. Because then it's just an illusion, and it's not a reality. And, of course, all physical things are illusion, and the reality is the mental thing. But what are you going to create? What are you going to create? Are you going to create something that is going to change your world into having it be in the center of a recreational area for all of the world? Or are you going to have it as your private recreational area, in your private retreat, in your domain? Are we perhaps going to buy from the BLM maybe a square mile of land and then have the lake in the middle of it, you know? We can do that, you know. Anything is possible. Or do they want to donate it to us? Because they feel that we are doing such a wonderful work here, they want us to have that extra land for whatever reason. Now, you say, well, that's a dream, that's a pipe dream, that the government would ever donate land to a private organization. Well, why not have a first time? Why not have a first time? And why not let it do it to many private organizations? You know, if you're worthy of it, if you're worthy of it in their eyes for this or that, or who knows how we would get it? Who knows how it would become ours? Or who knows, maybe this isn't the place where we're going to be. Maybe we're going to be in a different place. Or maybe we're going to include the valley down here and buy these various homes out, you know, and clear it all out. Make it all clear into a beautiful big forest and lake. Well, why don't we create a forest? We are doing it in a small way. On the plain down here, we planted some 100 trees, and they're all growing quite beautifully. And there are more to come, but everything is possible. Now, Ellen, you are, what is it, 23 years old, and how long does it take for these trees to grow? It takes years for these trees to grow. By the time you're 50, Ellen, you'll just have a few more trees growing. Now, would you like to manifest your whole countryside here covered with beautiful green forest? Would you like that? Would you like it much like the redwoods? Wouldn't that be beautiful here to have stands of redwoods around here? My goodness, what a glorious thing that would be. And the hills could be just loaded with redwood trees and other things, and then it would be probably a mandated a federal reserve, you know, that would be protected, and the Cleveland National Forest would extend to cover it. But why not? And why should you dream that just because you create something beautiful that everybody's going to want to come around and be part of it? You have to have eyes to see the beauty. Mm-hmm. In the early years of the development of America, the people didn't see the beauty of forests and trees. They just saw the beauty of chopping them down and making log houses, and also of having the fields. They had to raise crops. They had to raise corn and wheat and other things, you know. And Mama had to have her fruit, her little veggie garden to feed the family. Now, they had an entirely different image of what was beautiful in those days. And even today, a developer sees a piece of land and he mentally cleans it off. And then he put houses all over it. And the lumbering companies, they look at a piece of land and they say, wow, there's a lot of lumber there. We're going to cut it down and we'll have lumber. Now, you see, everyone is thinking just for the moment. They're thinking just for what their needs are right now. And that's what life's all about. We think just what our needs are right now. Well, what do you think? What do you think is just what your needs are right now? Are your needs right now just to have a lovely lake here? Are your needs right now to have a beautiful trees surrounding it? Is your needs right now to have rain every evening for about a half an hour or so, you know, sort of moistening the soil so that this would be like a beautiful, wonderful, what would you say, mountain sanctuary? You know, we're only 3,500 feet. It's a good altitude. Lots of beautiful things grow up here. Lots of beautiful animals around here. What do we want to create for ourselves? You can have anything you want. Katerina was saying, the snow is falling now in New Zealand. Here it is July and the snow is falling in New Zealand. Well, that's down under. And she says, it makes everyone look at life differently and find the joy and happiness in life. Well, now, what a wonderful statement. Not long ago, she would not have made that statement because she had a sadness in her heart. But now, she has a joy in her heart because she's opening up to the snow. Now, why is she a joy in her heart with the snow? Anyone is not going to answer me, but is going to nod your head. Why is she seeing them? Because she was born in Sweden. She was raised in Switzerland. Snow is what she's known all of her life. That is part of the joy of her world. And all of us. I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and we had snow in the winter times too. And each of you were born in the temperate zone, and you're familiar with snow. Mm-hmm. So, you see, What is it that you're visualizing? What is it that you're thinking? When you are back in your mental habitat of where you were born and where you lived, then you visualize all things in that relationship. Now, why is it so successful? It's so successful because of one thing. You're going back to your childhood. You're going back to the years where you would say, it is so and it was so. You go back, and when you sat at a little puddle on the side of the road and you put your sticks and leaves in there, you had boats and you had canals and you had everything, and you saw them there. You saw them there. They really were there for you. And you say, well, that's just childish. Yeah, but that's the sincerity. When we can live in this sincerity, we will have it. We will have it. We heard the movie The Rookie the other night, in which the young man always wanted to be a baseball person. He always wanted to be it. He always wanted to pitch. He had the greatest joy in doing it. But until he was in his late 30s, he didn't have the opportunity to really go out and do it. And when he went out and did it, he was very good. But then he was satisfied because he did his dream. Now, what is your dream? Is your dream to have a beautiful place here in which to have a retreat and to have a successful organization in which we can reach around the world and share the philosophy that we have come to understand and love? Then that's great. If our dream is to go out and find a man or a woman and get married and have kids and stuff, well, go for it. If our dream is to go and have a little cottage by the side of the road with a picket fence around it, go for it. You know, what's going to go on inside the cottage? You know, if our dream is whatever it is to have a boat, then go for it. But the thing is, if you don't go for it and you don't get your dream, then don't feel sorry for yourself. Take your dream and make it real. Follow it and go out and really enjoy it. But decide what your dream really is. What is your dream? For whenever you decide what your dream is, you watch. It'll be there. Because it always was there, just waiting for you to make up your mind. Enjoy and have a wonderful day, because this is a wonderful day. And I love you, I love you, I love you.